Before we begin with this week's episode, I have a confession to make. That confession is my computer ate over half of the audio for this week's episode, which is a bummer, because I'm not going to lie to you, it was a good episode. I teared up a little bit when I lost that audio, but what are you going to do? Life is a bitch, and this week has been nuts. But it's not like I'm not going to give you an episode. You're going to get the first 30-ish minutes of us talking, mostly news and how our week was, a little bit of AAW, and then it's going to go into our live show from the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival. We had Courtney Rose on from the Face Like Feministas podcast, as well as some fun little games we played with the audience. If you're looking for the photos that go along with the games we played, go on over to notyourdemographic.wordpress.com. We'll be back next week with a full episode if I don't lose the audio again. To be honest, it's shocking that we've been doing this for almost 3 years. All right, Demis, thank you for your forgiveness and enjoy the episode.
Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Are you ready, Andy? Steve? All right, fellas, let's go! Ballroom Blitz is an excellent song and is a great way to start all things.
Okay.
Do you not like Ballroom Blitz?
No, of course I do. I just was not expecting that.
I know, but we both, before we start recording, were always like, are you ready? Are you ready?
I thought you were going to do the DX thing.
Oh, I guess that would have made more sense.
Way more sense.
Whoops. We are a wrestling podcast. But Ballroom Blitz is a great song. Off the rails already. Ridiculous. Also, we did all of that sound testing and immediately just off the charts.
Yeah.
We're loud and ridiculous.
Yes.
Who even cares? How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, I mean, I'm mostly good. Kind of a mixed bag weekend, because we had a bachelorette party for our friend Emily, which was great, and I had a super fun time at, but I got strep, so I spent all of Memorial Day in bed dealing with strep throat. I'm no longer contagious. Everything's fine.
I wasn't worried about it. I have, like, a weird rock star immune system, because I work with kids.
Yeah, that's why, like, I texted you and was like, you drank out of my glass, but of literally everyone here, you're probably the least likely to have contracted it. So it, like, worked out pretty well. Yeah, I definitely caught it from someone I'm dating. He texted me and was like, hey, just to let you know, I woke up with a sore throat. I just wanted to let you know. And I was like, I don't trust this for a second. And so I went into the bathroom and I shined a flashlight down my throat and was like, I have strep throat. I'm going to the doctor. And I was supposed to go to a Memorial Day party with Michael. And so he went alone, which was the smart move. And when I went to the doctor, the nurse practitioner, whose name was Giovanni, and he was very nice, he, like, had me sit on the table, was, like, asking me questions, and I was like, yeah, my throat hurts, I'm afraid it might be strep. I opened my mouth.
And they were like, yeah, go home.
Sort of. I opened my mouth, and he goes, oh. Casually turns around and immediately puts a face mask on and does not take it off for the rest of the visit. He was like, yeah, you probably have strep. Does the test and is like, yes, you have strep. And so I texted the guy I'm dating and I was like, hi, unfortunate news. I know you said you feel kind of okay, but you have strep throat and you have to go to the doctor. He was like, oh shit, are you sure? I was like, I'm at the doctor. Yes, I'm sure.
Honestly, Erin, when you texted, hey, I have strep, like, make sure you're okay, blah, blah, I was like, this bitch doesn't have strep. She woke up with a sore throat and she's hungover and she's being like a whiny little bitch. And then I saw your tweets that were like, I'm at the doctor. And I was like, ooh, I'm, whoops. And I was like, Nick, I was being a bitch. She's actually sick.
This is like the sixth time I've gotten strep throat from someone I'm dating in the last 4 years. Like, I said this on Twitter, too. Like, everyone who gets into open relationships, they're like, oh my god, what about STIs? You're gonna get herpes. I've had, like, glancing brushes with people who've been infected with STIs, and I personally have never gotten one. But I have gotten strep throat 6 times, so, like, maybe we should warn people in open relationships that that's, like, a high possibility. I also can't get my tonsils removed because you need it 7 times in 1 year to get your tonsils removed.
What? I had my tonsils removed, and I've never had strep throat.
You can get it done as a kid, as an adult.
Well, I got it done when I was 21.
Really?
No, I was 19, 20.
Why? Did you have some kind of infection?
I think my throat just hurt all the time, and I always had these, like, fat little tonsils, and finally I was like, get them out.
Interesting. Yeah, mine would be considered elective surgery, so I have to wait till I get...
But I was under 26, so I had insurance. Mm,
yeah. Yeah, I do have insurance now, which is, you know... kind of a miracle when
marriage.
It feels like that, right? What's up, marriage? So, yes, I actually was sick and did have strep throat, but other than that...
My response was, ugh, what a whiny ass. And you were like, I'm at the doctor right now. And I was like, ooh.
I knew immediately, as soon as I looked at my throat, I was like, ah, oh, motherfucker! Why? But other than that, I've been good. Things are going well. I got to see my nieces today at the Michael's nieces.
Oh, yeah. I was like, your sister's in town?
No, but I will see her on Sunday, so I'm going to get to see all 4 of my nieces in, like, a 3-day period, and I'm so excited about it.
Nerd.
Ugh, I love them. They're so cute. They moved to Kentucky, and they both have Kentucky accents already.
Because they're little babies.
Yeah, exactly. They're, like, adapting. They're like, Dad, we want this. And I was like, oh, my God. You're from the suburbs. What happened?
That's so funny.
How are you?
Remember last week when I was like, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm really dealing with it well. No longer dealing with it well. Finals are around the corner and daunting. I have 1 day to write a 20-page paper because I'm a dipshit that was like, I have my research. I'm 20 fine.
20 pages.
20 pages double-spaced. It's 4,000 to 5,000 words. And honestly, okay, and 1,000 gap is like pretty fine. Yep. Like,
okay, so that's not that bad.
Right, so it's 8 to 10, not double space.
Yeah, that's
but
not
it's
that
like
bad.
An ethical paper where you have to like argue shit.
You know what the secret is? Start it out single space, 8-point veranda font, and then expand it once you write everything you possibly can. And
why
then
veranda?
Because it's really tiny.
Oh.
And so you'll feel like I'm pushing myself to write to the end of this page, and then you'll format to 12 times New Roman, double space, and you'll be like, holy fuck, my paper just doubled. That's how I got through school.
That's like a little mind fuck that you did.
Absolutely.
Like, I just stare at the word count.
Oh, yeah. If you're like, if you're writing with smaller font like that, that's not spaced properly, you'll like trick your brain into like pushing yourself forward. And
even though you know you're doing that. I never understood that because it's like, I set my alarm, my clock is like 10 minutes wrong. So I like trick myself, but it's like, but you know that you're tricking yourself.
Yeah. But the whole idea is like, your brain is like, I'll just push to the end of this page because you're so used to writing that way that even with the incorrect formatting, you're like, oh, okay, like, oh, I just have to write a couple more lines and I'll be at the end of this page. But then what you're really doing is writing like an entire page, basically.
Oh.
You should try it. It will help.
I'll try it. The paper is on wrestling, so I feel like I'm so happy I picked a topic that I know a lot about.
Yes.
Because there are other people who are writing about stuff and they're like, not only do you have to think about the framework you're using and your ethical quandaries and blah, 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 but you also have to learn your subject matter, where it's
right.
Just like, I know my subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I got at least half the page done in my head because I know like how to describe the problem
right. And
the case studies I'm going to use. The half that I'm worried about is the, like, analyzing it and being like, I think that virtue ethics is what journalists covering wrestling should use because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to do it, then, because if you're like, I can just start and press play and write as much as possible, just pump out as much as you can and then format properly, you'll be like, whoa, I just wrote 15 pages and I didn't mean to. Oh, a good example of that, too, if you hadn't thought about this, the All-In press conference is a really good example of why wrestling journalism can never really be journalism, because they were supposed to be journalists there, but they're all marks, and so, like, that interaction with the people running All-In and the fans who are journalists.
When was that press conference?
It was the day that they put the tickets on sale, so.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
That's good.
Devin was
one
there
more...
if you want to, like, hit
him
up.
Well, I'm not allowed to interview people because it's like a... It's weird. It's an a formal academic paper, and if you are going to use a human case study.
Yeah, you have to, like,
even if it's an interview, you have to get, like, an IRB. Yeah. And I am not doing that.
No, absolutely not. But just to ask him, like, for examples of stuff inside the press conference, he might be able to do it off the top of his head easier than, like, trying to comb through somebody else's stuff. So that might be a good example of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
More sources. Also, I guess this is, like, okay news, but starting on Friday, I am officially taking over Cage Side Seats social media.
Yay! Congratulations!
Thank you.
I saw that on Twitter on my way over here and was like, I already knew this, but I'm very excited.
Well, you only knew it recently. I kept under wraps for a while because, you know, you get news and then you tell people and then it's like, hi, this didn't go through. And you're like, I lied to you, but I didn't lie to you. So I just, like,
now I just feel like an asshole.
Really kept it under wraps for a while. But now I can tell people because I start Friday.
Yay!
Though I already tweeted.
Yeah.
I was like, what, you're going to keep me from Twitter? You gave me the password.
You gotta change the password now and be like, it's mine!
It's mine, no. Except for they have access to the email, so.
Yeah, that's
they true. Could just reset. Kick me off.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'll be running the Instagram and the Twitter and the Facebook, and then I have some other ideas and stuff in the pipeline? The old pipe brain. I also am going to shamelessly use it to promote our podcast more.
Hell yes, man.
But I mean, there are other good podcasts, and I will also promote them, but...
But hey.
I'm running this Twitter now. It'll be Drew McIntyre, now you're Democratic. I'm already on a power trip.
Yes!
What wrestling merch are you wearing?
Well, I had lunch with my in-laws, so we went to, like, a nice restaurant, and I realized as
you did not work today?
No, I did. I took a 2-hour lunch.
Nice.
I just left. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Nice.
I looked at my queue this morning and was like, I can do all this if I take a 2-hour lunch. Bye, everyone. Just peaced out. It was great. But I wanted to wear a Colt Cabana shirt and was like, this seems inappropriate to wear to this nice dinner. So I have a black shirt and my Colt Cabana pin that we got at the Zello show.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's like subtle in a way that's like, oh, you've got a nice little pin. And I'm like, yeah, it's definitely a man's face and name. I'm sitting on my collarbone. It's fine. I also have my Breemood koozie that I'm drinking out. And my Wrestling Without the E hat because Keith Lee is going to WWE and had his last fucking indie dates this weekend. But he's part of that faction.
Yeah.
Wrestling Without
the E. I know.
You looked at me like, why that?
No, I was just giving you a look because of you.
I have a lot on me. It's true. That happens.
Why are you wearing your Colt pin specifically?
Because he had to cancel one of his bookings this weekend because he's going to court finally.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot to write that in the news.
I did too. That's why I was like, put this pin on. I'm going to remember.
Well, it's interesting because if you want to know what's going on, you can find it, but you have to dig around. They are keeping it pretty tight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And obviously WWE's not saying anything.
Oh, of course not.
I think they think people are not going to pay attention to it, but everything that I've read and heard people talk about, like, this is very damning for the doctor and WWE.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It also feels like WWE has really taken a step back from him. Like, there's a reason people are being cleared and IO was signed, like... That only happens.
Io?
Is that how you say her name? I don't know.
I don't know. They're going to change it, so you just learn the new one, even though we say Kyrie wrong.
I don't
know. You say it better now. Kyrie? We're from the Midwest!
Midwest as fuck!
But I think it's Io.
Io was signed. Congratulations on her neck mysteriously healing.
It wasn't her neck, it was her heart. She had like a heart murmur.
No, they officially announced when they didn't sign her that it was because her neck was fucked up.
They said there was something wrong with her heart. Too.
I mean, both of these things could have been true.
I read the heart thing. I don't remember. All I remember is my sadness.
Congratulations on her heart murmurs, like, magically getting better. That's much easier.
On whatever health thing you had going away.
Mysteriously disappearing, yeah. But that's, like, that's also a good sign that they're like, maybe we should take a step back from this doctor. Also, like, Daniel Bryan got cleared. I don't know. It'll be interesting, too. I wonder, it's funny because I feel like the laws about slander and libel are murky and
they're super murky.
And like, this is such a weird case. And I feel like, especially now that Punk and Cabana aren't friends anymore, it has like an extra layer on top of it too.
Like that we know that's the like heavy rumor.
Oh, I mean,
I know, but we don't know them. I just feel that there are certain...
I mean, Cabana's talked about on Art of Wrestling.
Like, okay, I guess that was this podcast.
Yeah, he, like, I don't speak to him. Please don't ask me about him. Like,
oh,
like,
okay. That's not a legend.
No. That seems very much real.
Okay.
yeah. But, like, if they win this case, that's a big fucking deal and could mean, like, serious changes to the way that these laws are enforced because, like, the whole deal is that they didn't say allegedly, but it could be a really big deal. I feel like it's another reason why WWE's like, let's never speak of this.
Allegedly, but they're going to court and they're going to be like, here are all these documents from when we went to the doctor and this when I was like, hey, I'm going to, mm-hmm. I don't feel good. And that time I shit in the ring and all of this stuff that's on tape and in emails and is corroborated. So like, it isn't alleged?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
It isn't libel? Like, I said it in a mean way.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm just because your butt hurt?
feelings hurt, but, like, I almost died from a staph infection, bro.
Yeah, that shit is not something to fuck with, like, no, at all.
Both of us have had staph infections, and they are not good.
No, not at all. Like,
we're both disgusting humans.
Oh, my God. We're so gross.
I got mine from lying in a nightie in a dirty attic for several weeks.
Me want to throw up.
Theater.
I know what you're talking about, but also like.
No, that sounds like a weird sex club, but it was just Shakespeare.
Just Shakespeare.
Just Shakespeare.
I had so many staph infections because I have weird skin and it sucks.
I have weird skin.
It's weird.
I think mine is my only one was from because, you know, when you lie half naked on a attic floor in a historical house.
Uh-huh. And you have like a pimple or a hive, and it gets infected. Like that shit, it can kill you.
I have a scar on my ribs still.
Mm-hmm. I remember when you had gauze inside your ribs.
Still wore a corset with that staph infection because I'm a bad ass.
You're a bad bitch. What wrestling shirt are you wearing? Speaking of bad bitches,
iconic.
It actually is a pretty good shirt.
Yeah, it's not as good as their shirt.
No,
OBS.
But
it's considering, especially lately, the garbage, trash fire shit that has been coming out of WWE Creative, this is a not offensive shirt.
Yeah, and it has both of their names on the back. Like, I like the way that the back looks as well. God knows WWE loves printing on the back of shit.
I'm wearing it because, A, it's my newest merch. That's not true. One of my newest merch. My newest merch I bought at the AEW show, and I bought it from Desmond Xavier, A, because he did an amazing job, and I really enjoy watching him, and B, because he has a shirt that's in the shape of, like, it's an allusion to the X-Men symbol, and it says Desmond Xavier School for the Gifted, and then it has his thing, and I was like, what, am I not going to buy a wrestling X-Men shirt?
Obviously.
Duh. I obviously bought that shirt. So that's my newest merch. This is one of my new ones, and I bought it because there was that rumor that Vince was really shocked at how well the Iconics merch mm-hmm. has moved.
Hello!
Literally been begging for a shirt for years, mm-hmm. it seems like. Yeah. Like, yes, we want this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want to support the people we like.
Yeah.
When you don't have merch for everybody, how can you say that person isn't a merch seller? Obviously, I bought this immediately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's not true. I waited for a BOGO.
I mean, immediate in the terms of...
I bought it within a month.
Yeah, give WWE the least amount of money possible.
Right. I bought this shirt, and I bought the Naomi shirt with her dancing on it.
Cool.
Because that one is pretty okay, too. Mm. And I'm going to always buy more Naomi shit.
Yeah.
Naomi forever!
Also, you saw those fake WWE shirts that...
They're so funny.
They were so good. That Dean Ambrose one, I thought was real! I really thought it was real. If you haven't seen it, it's literally just a black t-shirt and white script that says Dean Ambrose on the front and then Dean Ambrose on the back. And I honestly thought it was real.
My favorite one was Bobby Lashley, a professional wrestler in WWE or something like that. Like, a professional wrestler hired by WWE or like something ridiculous. Like, yeah, that's
they're,
it.
They're so ridiculous. The worst part about it was that I honestly had to look at them and be like, are these real? Because they were better than the trash that had been coming out, but were still clearly supposed to be trash.
But they were better because they were hilarious and self-aware, too.
Absolutely. And, like, I would buy that Dean Ambrose shirt.
Dean Ambrose.
I mean, it's better than literally any of the Lunatic Asylum shit that he also doesn't give a shit about.
Yeah, the only merch I have of Dean Ambrose is sweatpants, and not because they have a cool logo, it's because I obviously love the sweatpants. Oh, I am wearing my Sasha Banks sweatpants.
Obviously.
A, I am always wearing them. And B, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but I was really happy that she got qualified. She's the one that I want. Full disclosure, she's the one that I wanted in this match.
I'm really torn about it. We can get to it once we, like, get into that.
This is foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Other news.
Other news.
I did go to the AEW show. You did not, even though you had a ticket.
I did have a ticket. I chose not to go because I had canceled on this guy too many times, and then he gave me strep. So I kind of wish I had gone to the show instead. That would have been nice.
Here's what I would say about it. Here's how I'm going to couch this. I haven't been to an AEW show in a while. Mm. I used to go to them all the time, but I got really burnt out because I didn't particularly like the way that they were booking things, and it just became, like...
Redundant
and, like, kind of like a jerk-off fest. Like, well, look at all these names we can give. We're not thinking about how to book them at all. Blah. But this one was close to my house, and I was free. So I was like, sure, I'll go. This was the best AEW show I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. Dev said it was the best one he's ever been to.
All of the matches were good.
Yeah.
Every match was good. Even a match, it was... Eddie Kingston came out, and I was like, great. And then Fred Yehi came out, and I had never seen him because I don't watch Evolve. But I was like, he's got a cool look. I'm into him. They had maybe my favorite match of the night.
Damn!
And I was like, I was tweeting while I was watching it, and I was like, do people like Eddie Kingston, blah, blah, blah. And then a bunch of people, of course, were like... I like his Chikara stuff. You really should watch this year. He did good there. And I was like, yeah, it's just hard because the first time I ever saw him, he used the F word to people. And he was with Homicide, who like, I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot with Homicide. And so it's always been really hard for me because he's got this like machismo bullshit like thing. But holy F. Mm-hmm. This match was... great. And it's the best I've ever seen Eddie Kingston wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he, you know how he always walks that line of, in his character that was like, almost shoot, but it's like, is the word?
Yeah, it's...
Are you gonna quit? Are you not? I think he was the only wrestling without an E person there. Mm-hmm. But I think that faction, at least in AEW from what I've seen, has helped his character a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Also, all in on Fred Yehi. This match was dope. It was so good. Awesome. And also, it's fun to go, yeah, Fred! Go, Fred!
Yes, that's very true.
I also like going, yay, hi! I was the only one doing it, by the way.
I will do that next time. I like that a lot.
Yay, hi!
You can't completely judge, as far as we know, you can't really judge people on just their acquaintances, but the fact that Eddie Kingston and Mia Yim are dating does, like, also give me a, like, okay, you can't be a total shitbag. Like,
right.
That is a good sign. And, like, Larry Sweeney was one of his best friends. And, like, that does also speak highly
it's just like the,
for me about him.
I know he was a heel, and AEW loves to blur the line of what is real and what is fake. And I get it. Maybe that makes it really exciting for some people, but it really pulls me out of it. Like, I don't need everyone to be like, just a reminder, everybody, wrestling is fake. Wrestling is fake. I obviously don't want that. I want to have a suspension of disbelief. But AEW... in my experience, has pushed it. Like, one time I walked in semi-late, and Eddie Kingston was, like, tearing the ring apart because he was so mad that something happened. And I was like, is this real? Is this fake?
Yeah.
This is a work shoot? And it, like, took me out of it because I was like, should I be scared? Like, yeah. I'm really close to this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something similar that happened, like, before the show. Sammy, like, they were selling merch, and Sammy got into a fight with Brody. What's his name? Brody King? Who I loved. He was great, but they got into, like, a fist fight and throwing stuff. Sammy threw a beer across, like, took it from a fan and threw it across the whole stadium. Like, there are kids in the audience. Like, you could have hit a kid in the face with a beer can.
Do you know who got hit with that beer?
Devin.
He was like, it was great. I walked in and then was soaking wet.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I guess the trajectory, it would have hit Dev.
Yeah.
Now that, like, I think where Dev was and where Sam was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he and I hung out yesterday, and he was like, yeah, it landed, like, in my lap. Like, exploded on me. I'm like, ooh, yikes.
Yeah, it was just like, and then people are pulling him apart, and I was like, is this a work? Is this a shoe? I don't know. I don't like it. It's not helping the story for me.
Yeah.
And also, you're really close to me, and that's making me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm, like, a lady, but because it's like, you're a professional wrestler throwing shit into the audience.
Yeah.
And this is no longer fun for me.
Yeah.
I get that this is your character. I am uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And especially when AEW, like, goes out of their way to say, like, if you get hurt as an audience member, we're not responsible.
Well, especially, 50% of the matches went to the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
that's like, I had to get up and out of my seat so many times, which is fine, but like, that's overdone, right? Like, yeah. That's too much. Mm-hmm,
it's too many.
It was too many. Some of it was cool, but some of it I also was like, unnecessary. Is that person alive now? Yeah. What is happening? My second favorite match was Desmond Xavier, and then, oh God, I'm sorry, I forget his name, Zach. He's dating Kimberly.
That one.
but he's tags with Desmond and Shane Strickland versus OVE. I didn't like it necessarily because of OVE stuff, because, like, I'm not into all that stuff, but, like, damn, I love Shane Strickland.
Yeah.
Damn. So good. Like, I was like, you are making this match with, like, people that I'm not a big fan of really work for me, because I love Desmond Xavier. His tag team partner is really good. And also, like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Shane Strickland is so good.
Oh, it's good. Always so good. Ugh, so good.
Also, Kimber and Havoc main evented.
First time AEW's ever done that.
They almost didn't do it.
Really?
Because either they changed it last minute because they were like, shit, this is the one of the only title belts, isn't that? One of two title belts were on the line. So the tag and the women's. But the main one was not because ACH was in Super Juniors and the Heritage wasn't because I don't know. So they were like, okay, well, the tag's in this first half. Which was funny. It was Colt and Juice. Oh. So my first time ever seeing Juice live,
fun.
I think.
He's fun.
It was funny. And they did a good...
They're a good pairing.
They're a great pairing. And it was them against the besties with Scarlett and Matt Fitchett and Colt and Juice kind of teaming up against Davey and Scarlett. It was kind of funny. Like, they kept being like, shut up, Scarlett. And I was like, yeah, just call it, shut up. But then... We did get a second women's match because Scarlett was talking and Kylie Rae came out. And so, that was nice. Surprise second. And I don't like Scarlett for a lot of reasons, but she wasn't terrible to watch wrestle.
Oh, that's good.
And her and Kylie
did. It does seem like she's trying. And, I appreciate that even if I don't appreciate her.
Right. I mean, her promo was all like, I'm a 10, this and that, look at my butt, whatever.
Like, yeah, okay, you have a great butt, but come on, man.
Is it real?
I think so. I don't know. How the fuck can you tell?
me and Ben were like staring at it. We were like, oh my God, I'm like mesmerized by this butt. And I was like, the stuff she's wearing, obviously you're supposed to like stare at it because it's like her whole gimmick right now. Right. And I was like, ah, this butt is like driving me crazy. Ah, it's like great. It's a great butt. Don't get me wrong. I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
this butt's making me have a nervous breakdown. So there was two women's matches with Wolf. But either they decided to do the women's match main event in last minute, or they forgot to tell the ring announcer that they were doing it as a main event because they didn't announce it prior.
Oh.
So it's the second to last match. The ring announcer comes out and is like, starts to introduce the women's match. And then the ref is like, no, 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 no. And then the guy's like, oh, it's pardon me. I was wrong. It's now the Lucha Brothers and... A.R. Fox and Myron, I think. That was a great match. Loudest chops I've ever heard in my life.
Ugh, so bananas.
The Lucha Brothers can chops. It honestly felt like their chests were going to cave in. And the cool thing about the Logan Square Auditorium is that there's a balcony where the wrestlers go and watch. And there was this corner, and it was Desmond, Shane, Brody, and a couple other people would come in and out. And... you know, Penta would chop Air Fox and Desmond would jump up like a kid and be like, oh, shit! It was like, oh! And it was just fun to watch the wrestlers be like, damn!
Oh. When you see wrestlers freak out about it, that's how you're like, oh, shit!
Right. So that was kind of a fun, like, watching the Peanut Gallery react to this. And of course, Air Fox and Penta and them, like, they are incredible wrestlers and do really innovative moves. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to watch the wrestlers pop for that match. But so that match happens, and then they do the raffle drawing, and then the ring announcer comes back and is like, pardon my misspeaking earlier, but, you know, we believe, and then they started their whole patting themselves on the back, like, we believe that good wrestling is wrestling, and that you, our fans, have spoken, and blah, 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 we're great, aren't we progressive women in the main event? And it was like, yeah, bro, like, it's the, like, middle of 2018.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of room to grow, but, like, are we patting ourselves on the back right now?
Yeah.
It seems like you should just do this and get it done with because it's embarrassing that you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. come on. And you don't even have the women's belt on every goddamn show.
Right. Like, and now you're like, we believe that women's wrestling is wrestling.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, bro. So do we. Kimber and Havoc had a pretty good match. It was pretty standard for them. I've obviously seen them wrestle a billion times. I mean, I'm going to say it. It didn't have a main event feel. I don't know if it's because I've seen them wrestle a bunch of times, but also, like, they didn't really set it up as a main event, so it didn't have a main event feel. And they booked it after Penta and AR Fox and, like, Phoenix. Like, most people, most wrestlers, period, can't follow them.
Yeah.
So that was a little, like, there was no, like, come down. Like, this, you know, obviously you don't want to put two women's matches back to back, but the Scarlett Kylie Rae match, like, that would have been a good,
like, down.
Yeah, it should have had a different match there.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, so, like, that was a little, so it didn't feel like a main event. Kimber and Havoc did a great job. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. So, like, that felt a little weird, and obviously I was annoyed that they pat themselves on the back so much, but they went into the audience, and they got, like, Kimber was, like, covered with beer, because, like, Jessica threw a beer on her, and it was, like, it was pretty visceral, and it was definitely entertaining. But the biggest, most important thing about it is Kimber won.
Yeah.
With brass knuckles.
Fuck yeah.
So Kimber's the new champ. And Kimber is fully heel. And I was with Ben, who has been to AEW shows, but hasn't been to as many as we have. Mm-hmm. I'm talking so fast, I have to breathe.
I'm so excited!
I was with Ben, who has been to AEW shows, but hasn't been to as many as we have. And I remember, before Kimber got signed, Kimber was fully a heel in AEW.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were there when she turned on Heidi. Yeah. Like, but she didn't have a heel run because
she signed immediately after that, right. Basically.
So this is a nice callback, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I like, because Havoc is obviously, like, a heel, but it's cool to see, like, the princess, like, heel.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate that.
I totally agree. And, like, talking to Devin, who had never seen her wrestle ever. He had seen her in the Mae Young, but, like, didn't really understand that Kimber and Abby were the same person, because Abby never wrestled again on NXT, basically. Like, she had those, like, throw-off matches as a jobber on NXT, right. But it was never really Abby Lathe to the extent that she could have been after the Mae Young. And so he had never seen her wrestle and was, like, blown away. He said it was one of the best matches of the night because he was so shocked by how good she was.
Yeah.
And they were out in the crowd, and apparently Jessica Havoc turned to him at one point and just went, "Get the fuck out of our way." And he was like, "Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely, I will do that." I was like, "This is the best. I love this."
Yeah, it was really great, except for you could hardly have a moment to celebrate or take it all in. Like, whoa, Kimber's a heel. Whoa, Jessica, first AEW Women's Champ loss. Because immediately after that, Brody came out and kicked Jessica in the face. Just fine. Intergender. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Kick all the women in the face. In the ring.
Right?
Not.
With consent.
With consent. Only kick people in the face if they're, like, chill with you kicking them in the face. Obviously. Or they're a Nazi.
It seems strange to go backstage, but I'm happy to do it.
Yes, so am I, actually.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Fuck it. YOLO.
We're going to dance for you. Awkwardly.
Theater magic.
Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Clink.
One of us has a bear. Clink.
Crazy laughter. Here's a fun fact. Whenever we have to re-record the introduction, we stare at each other until we make each other laugh, because it's really hard to laugh on cue. So we, like, clink our glass, and then we just stare at each other until we laugh, and then I just edit the dead noise out. So it seems really natural. Like, we're just like, ah, it's so fun to podcast.
This is a natural conversation.
It's a heavily edited show. Thank you for coming out to the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival. Yay! We're a wrestling podcast with two ladies.
That's what we do. We're ladies. We talk about wrestling and lots of other stuff.
So it's heavily edited, but not to make it more wrestling focused.
No, not at all.
So this is kind of strange because I haven't seen Erin in like a month. Because she just got back from her honeymoon.
Yay! I had to come back to America.
Quick, like rundown. How was it? What was your favorite?
All right. It was great. I went to Europe for 22 days with my husband, which is a really long time. It was super fun. We went... We flew into Berlin, and then we went to Warsaw, and then we went back to Berlin for a week, and then we went to Amsterdam, and then we came home. So, like, we did a lot, and we stayed in five different places. So we, like, moved a lot. So we only took a carry-on and a backpack with us for 3 weeks.
That's nonsense.
And it was the right decision, for sure, because it was nice to be able to just, like, pack everything up and move it around. But also, like, we just saw each other for 25 days.
Marriage!
It was, we were both, by the end, like the last 4 days, all we could talk about was maybe we should have only gone on 17 days or 18 days. But it was nice because we were like, well, we're going to get back and like appreciate both that we have very separate social lives, which is really important for us. And also like when we are stuck at home for 4 days in a row with each other, now we'll be like, at least it wasn't 25 days. So that's given us like a nice appreciation of each other. We went and saw Deadpool 2 together yesterday, and we got out the door and we like walked up to the subway and didn't say anything to each other. And then Michael turned to me and goes, "Why are we hanging out? We should not be hanging out right now." I was like, "That's a great point. I don't know why we're doing this."
Also, you got a sick ass new tattoo.
I did get a sick tattoo. It's a bee, because bees are super important for humanity, and if they die, then we all die as well.
It's her whole thing.
It is like my whole thing. I came back. Michael went and did jujitsu, and I was like, I'm going to get a tattoo.
Wait, he did German jujitsu?
Yes, he did. And he went and he practiced, which was pretty cool. So I walked and I like researched a bunch of tattoo shops, and then I went on a walk and was like, oh fuck, the one I was looking at is literally around the corner from where our first hotel was. And so I walked in and I was like, hey, do you have a walk-in? And the guy was like, we have three artists, two of them are doing massive cover-up pieces, and we have one person who can take you right now. And I was like, let's do it. Give me a bee. I want this tattoo right
now.
Give
me a bee.
And I came back and Michael was like, why did you get up? Never mind. I just remembered who I was talking to. So those were some high points. Amsterdam was great. Obviously, I'm a super, super stoner, so it was nice.
I'm a super high, is what you almost said.
Yeah, that was a low point. I'm a super stoner. I smoke like every day, and we did not smoke for like 16 days because our weed hookup fell through in Germany. And that sucked. It sucked. We got to the end of it and Michael was like, yeah, so we should definitely like figure out if we have children, if there are like studies where it's okay to smoke pot in other countries. I know we haven't looked for it here, but I'm worried about what you'll be like for 10 months. And I was like, yeah, a fucking nightmare. That's what it's going to be like.
But you said that Michael was more of a nightmare.
Oh, he was a fucking nightmare. Absolutely.
You turned him into a little pot monster.
A pot monster. He's like, I created this monster with wrestling with you, which fair is true. But also like... We get to Amsterdam and he was like, I want to smoke as much weed as possible, literally until we cannot stand up anymore. And so we went to five different coffee shops because he was like,
are they called coffee shops?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Coffee shops are where you can buy weed. It's part of their normal culture there because it's legal and they don't put people in jail for it, which imagine that. Anyway. So we go to all these coffee shops and he's buying like 3 grams, which is basically like an eighth. It's a little short of an eighth. And wants to smoke all of it in one sitting, which is normally what I smoke in like a week. And he's like, oh yeah, let's do it.
Are you trolling us already? Drink!
Yeah, thanks. My husband Bree-moded me. Thank you very much. So he like wants to smoke like an entire eighth in a sitting, and he's like, "I smoked you under the table." I was like, "Yeah, because I'm a normal person." Like, duh.
Because this isn't a weed competition.
I know, right? He definitely wanted it to be, and I was like, "Whatever, you're paying for all this weed. That's I don't care. I'll smoke as much weed as you fucking want." So it was great. It was really fun. I am glad to be back. It's nice to have friends again.
Yeah, and now I don't have to have Bobby on the podcast anymore.
I did listen to every episode I was not on, which was a very weird experience, but it was also it was nice. I was like, "I'm traveling. I know these people."
Me and Bobby made a joke. When I go on my honeymoon, it's going to be you and Bobby. And Bobby's like, "How is this going to work?" Because I do all the like prep and stuff, and I'm like, change of topic with this segue, and you guys are just going to be like, "So, wrestling." I look forward to listening to those.
Oh, God, those are going to be a nightmare.
I was here in the Thrust until 3 a.m. singing karaoke with all of our friends. Yay. And I am very grateful that I have a voice because I sang Ballroom Blitz and really went for it. Really went for it. So I'm happy to be back with a voice. So what wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Zack Sabre Jr. I always almost say this fascist armbars wrestlers, which is not what this shirt says.
It's the whole opposite of the point.
Every single time I'm like, no, I don't say that out loud. That's not right. This wrestler armbars fascist. This is one of the shirts I brought with me. And like today I was trying to pick out a shirt to wear for the podcast and for the show we're going to later. I was like, this is a great shirt. And I only had like 9 shirts with me because I only brought like the roll-on suitcase and the backpack. And I was like, I should want to wear the like 87 other shirts I have. And I was like, but I really like this one. So I'm wearing this one.
Nice.
It was a little weird to be walking around and be like, I'm American. And I have this Bullet Club fanny pack and this fascist shirt. Like, it was... I did have someone ask me at one point, she like made a joke about Americans and then was like, oh, I'm sorry, I just noticed your gun fanny pack. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not that kind of American. It's a pro wrestling thing. And she was like, pro wrestling, that's very misleading. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. It's not I can only bring this. It's never happened to me before. Like, oh, fuck, this is... People think this is like a real gun thing. So it was very weird to be like, I'm just going to turn this upside down everywhere now. No, it's fine.
Nobody can tell if it's a gun if it's upside down. That's what we've learned about Europe.
There's nothing on the back.
Europe doesn't know what guns look like, so just turn them upside down. I'm wearing my worst wrestling shirt, which is also my favorite wrestling shirt because it's the laziest design. It is really stupid. It is a fire emoji. And then an angel emoji. And when we first saw this shirt, we were like, what is this? Because we didn't know the tag team. We were like, what is it? Like fire babies?
Fire
baby angel? Angel fire? And then they were like, we're fire and nice. And I was like, I must own that shirt. It is the dumbest shirt I've ever seen. So that's, and we're going to the Zello Pro Show afterwards. And Dr. Britt Baker.
Yeah.
She's a dentist now. Dr. Dentist. Is that what you... I don't know. Dr. Dentist, Britt Baker. And Chelsea Green will be there, so I'm wearing my Fire and Ice shirt. Angel Fire Baby.
Angel Fire Baby.
All right. Well, that's enough nonsense from us, bees and fire. We are going to bring our special guest up. Cue the music! Courtney Rose of the Face Lock Feministas podcast and Heart Eyes Pod.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you for Hello. Being here.
Courtney is one of our friends that we legitimately met through Twitter.
Yes.
We have a lot of... The weird thing about like wrestling fans is that there is a lot of toxicity, but there is also this like beautiful like intersectional like queer and like feminist section of the wrestling Twitter, and we've
There's
met
eight of us,
I know there might be 20 at this point, but we've all mostly met each other.
Yeah.
And now we're friends, we go to each other's weddings and stuff. But we wanted to have Courtney on because we talk about on the podcast a lot about the importance of makeup when it comes to wrestling, because not only do the women wear a ton of makeup, but there is a history of, like, you know...
Face paint.
That's why I was like, men in makeup. What is that called? Face paint and character development, and it's, like, really important. And we want to have Courtney on because Courtney is a bomb-ass makeup artist and also loves wrestling.
I do. Yeah. Very much so. Used to both things.
You used to run a wrestling makeup blog.
I did. Used to. Yeah. I
stopped having real time to yes. do anything. But yes.
I for some reason thought you were going to say, I stopped having feelings.
That's not true. I stopped having feelings years ago. Those have been gone for ages.
Fair. Okay. Oh, well, so we brought you on to, like, have fun and banter because we love you. But I also wanted to play a game and test your wrestling and makeup knowledge.
It's not going
to
be good, but all right.
I don't know. I didn't make it that hard. So what we're going to do is on the screen, we're going to have a zoom in of wrestling makeup. And she's going to have to figure it out. And then we'll zoom it out. And then we'll make fun of her if she got it wrong.
Lots yeah. of that's going to happen, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Lots of that is going to happen.
Oh, but before we start, what wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I am wearing Flash Morgan Webster's wrestling shirt, nice. Who debuted on 205 Live this week, and I'm still, like, on that high of, like, my favorite British boy is on TV.
So I have obviously heard of him before because I'm friends with you, and yes. but I'm still only in, like, chapter 5 of Progress, but I really loved him on 205 Live. I can't wait to see more of him. Like, what a solid look. Like, he didn't even have to do anything, and I was like, yeah. I'm all in.
Yeah. He's very good. He's got cool gear. He's got a lot of one of the things I like about him that's super nerdy is that every single one of his moves has a name. So not just, like, his you finish has that. A name, but, like, every single one of the moves he does, he has, like, a 2-page list of every single, that. And I'm hey, like, that is the type of pedantry that I'm super into. So I really enjoy him.
Awesome. Well, are you ready to be made ready. A fool
of? I'm ready. I'm super ready to be embarrassed. All right.
First, makeup.
Oh, God. Oh, hi. I did that. Yeah. That is Chris Hero. And that is broken Chris Hero.
Yay. See, I didn't make that hard.
Yeah, no, you made that one pretty easy. Yeah. If I didn't get that one, I would be a fucking mess.
That would be hilarious.
That would, like, oh, that looks terrible.
To be honest, I made it that easy because I couldn't zoom in anymore. My computer was like, you're not allowed to zoom in anymore. It is totally going to ruin the photo. So I was like, I guess we'll just show his face.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
How was that, doing makeup for, like, an actual wrestling show?
Really cool. That was, like, the second time I had done it. So I already knew Chris, so it wasn't weird. But Matt Hardy, I was terrified. I was like, oh, God, he's going to be insane. He was so cool. Like, super nice and, like, made sure that they had time to stop and take a picture with me doing the makeup before they went out there and ruined it.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Was really cool. That he was super really nice. Good. And then I saw Chris, like, 3 weeks ago in England when I was over there visiting. And he was just like, you're here. And I was like, you're here. Oh, this is such a moment. And then I just basically cried, and he was like, I have to be professional. But it was really cool. Yeah,
I love that.
It was really cool.
Next, makeup.
Uh-oh. Ooh. That's Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. 2 for 2.
I have a lot of feelings about the way WWE does makeup for the women.
That it's
but
fucking bad.
It's terrible. It's like, so some bad. Of them, I'm just like, whoo, Lord almighty.
I don't get it.
No, yeah. Hers is actually one of the better people in the roster.
That's what I was going to say. I have a problem with some of them, like Paige. I was just going to say that. Paige looks like a, like, if you've ever seen RuPaul's Drag Race, there's a queen who calls herself a glamour toad, and Paige fully looks like a glamour toad. But they overdraw her lips so much, and, like, she, like, pouts them, and it's like, what are we doing?
Paige and Ruby Riott's, I'm always just like, why have we done this to Ruby Riott? Why is she wearing red all the time on her eyes? It makes
so
no
much.
Sense. She's
I
not
do like Ruby's, like, gray lips.
The though. Gray lips yeah. are good. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes they do the eyes, and I'm like, what have you chosen to do with your lives?
I think Alexa's really works for her character because she's got she is
it's a lot but
yeah. her character is a lot and yeah. with the ponytail, especially when she was doing the Harley Quinn stuff, like yeah. I think it works.
They always give her really sharp lines with her liner and stuff, and it looks good with her because she's like a bitch. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
It reminds me a lot. Yeah, hello, yeah, eyeliner,
exactly.
Thank you.
Didn't want to say it, but I was insinuating.
Are you a bitch?
It reminds me a lot of Sienna's, too. Sienna does the really sharp lines, and it works for her character because her character is also a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Eyeliner equals bitch is what we've learned about right now.
We are both wearing eyeliner.
Next, makeup, please.
Oh, gosh. Goldust? Yes. No, that's Stardust.
I was like, so close.
Yeah,
so
that's yeah. Stardust. Yeah.
Remember Stardust?
I remember. I remember when David Bowie died and he did the David Bowie-inspired one, which was really, really good. That one was super cool.
Obviously, like, Cody Rhodes has gone on to, I'm sorry, Cody.
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 LOL.
Cody and Brandy Rhodes.
Cody, last name included when it matters.
He's obviously gone on to have like a really interesting post-WWE career, but I do still love Stardust.
Yeah, me,
Stardust,
too. Me too.
He got to be, I mean, I also really appreciate Mustache Cody.
Yes.
But it seemed like he really started to come into his own, and I feel like Stardust and how he was so creative with it maybe gave him like the confidence to be like, wait, I'm actually very good. I can go do anything else. Bye.
I think right. The best thing he's done with all the Bullet Club, like being the Elite and all that, is like Cody was always better at having some type of personality and like being weird. Yeah. And so like he fits in with the Young Bucks and all those fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
So like it works really well on that show. And I'm like, actually all the stuff I've ever enjoyed him in is just because he's like got a personality and is kind of strange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which makes sense if you think of him as like Goldust's brother, like
yeah.
They're and Dusty's
yeah,
son.
And Dusty's
like
son for sure.
They're just a bunch of fucking weirdos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed too. I like how it sort of seemed at first with like All In and with Cody that it first, oh, I'm good. I can do this stuff and I can hold my own. And now I feel like he's like, hi Vince, you know how you disassembled the territory system? Big fuck you. We're starting that shit up
yeah.
again. Like it really feels that way. And it's like, oh, you're also a genius, I think, maybe. Which is very weird to think about Stardust. Like, you're a legit genius, but
whoa. How did that happen?
Next makeup, please.
Oh, that's Finn Balor.
See, these are dead hard. Well, it was hard because almost all wrestling makeup is just black and red.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm trying to think of the ones that are not black and red. How do you feel about Finn Balor and the Demon? Everyone knows my feelings about Finn Balor. Overrated.
I'm glad they're not doing it as much anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, overdone for a while there. Yeah. I'm still, like, looking at him no matter what he's doing. Because he's the most beautiful person who's possibly
existed.
He's
just like a sweaty nerd.
He's so cute.
But so many people look like amphibians.
Listen, do not kink shame me for my love of tadpoles.
I would never.
Yeah, he's a beautiful tadpole, okay?
Next one, please.
Oh. Road Warriors?
But which one?
Oh, God. I can't tell you which one. Animal.
No!
I'll talk.
No!
Oh!
That's what they're pitching.
I see.
That's my favorite word. Road Warriors makeup.
That's amazing.
I just love that when he managed it because we're doing the every WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
And so I'm terrible at old-timey wrestling, so I'm like learning a lot of stuff. And when he came out with them as manager, but I had like just a tiny bit of the makeup on, I was like, all in. All in. So when I was doing makeup, I was like, I know what to do.
When Mr. Fuji died, my uncle sent me a like really strongly worded email about how sad he was. And I remember just being like, God, my family's weird. Like, just was one of those things. I think I posted on Twitter because I'm just like, this is the family I grew up in. Like, we mourn the deaths of professional wrestling related people. So, yeah, it was pretty great.
I love that.
Next one, please.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, I know this one.
I feel like I should, but I don't.
Shot in the dark.
I feel like it's Joshi of some sort, but
it's not. They're
okay.
All like
WWE
or WCW type stuff.
I'm Jeff Hardy? I don't know. It has that weird line stuff.
Swerve!
Oh!
I knew it!
Old school.
I was like, you gotta include Sting.
There we go.
But if you do black and white, it's gonna be
it's
obvious.
Too much.
Surfer Sting it is.
I saw the purple and I just kept thinking of Aja Kong. And I was
oh,
like,
yeah, totally. I thought for sure you were gonna say Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, no.
But it is a Swerve.
It's a Swerve.
That's the only one you got wrong.
Ooh.
You only got the hardest one wrong.
Oh, okay, good. I feel slightly blessed better about myself now.
So that's the end of that game. Makeup
Yay.
Is important. Warpage. Courtney. Separate pages. Full glamour tone.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny. Remember when Paige and Total Divas was like, I have to wear heels to this event? And now she's like, lip, heels in the gym. I'm Paige. But she's also, like, still alternative. I don't know. I get it. I guess I have dumb hair and also wear heels, but
heels
not at the gym.
Heels at the gym is going to be, like, her memoir in a year.
Heels
now.
At the gym.
You've just set that up.
So for our next segment, we have been doing this podcast for almost 3 years now. We started in August of 2015, so we're getting close. We're creeping up to our 3-year. And I thought it would be interesting to look back at the first pay-per-view we ever talked about. So our first episode was the predictions – LOL, for SummerSlam 2015. And then our second episode was the fallout of SummerSlam 2015. I had been watching wrestling, rewatching. I obviously grew up watching wrestling, blah, blah, but I have a very large dark ages. Most of it I'm very grateful for, to be honest. But I started to get back into wrestling about a year before that, because I think I came back to watching around SummerSlam 2014, and then I got really into it, but then, you know, all of the podcasts were dudes talking about, you know, wrestling, and like, who cares what men say? So we started our own, and then we did it around this. I just went back to listen to it this morning to kind of like refresh. We just recorded it on the computer microphone. It is really bad. Do not listen to it.
I know.
Some of the insights we make are good. We have been pretty consistent. Well, maybe not consistent in our likes and dislikes.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Dolph Ziggler.
Primo.
But, you know, we still had a good voice, but thought it might be interesting to talk about the card and then kind of how it's evolved. And actually, we just realized that you were at this show.
I was, yeah. I had to look at the card and I was like, what the fuck happened? It's like, I don't remember half of this, but now I sort of remember some of it.
It was just funny because I was like, we're going to talk about this. You were like, was I there?
Yeah.
You go to so much wrestling that you're like, was I there?
It's true. It's too many flights. I was like, oh, there's like three things I definitely remember happening. Yeah.
I actually looked at this and I remembered it being way worse than it was. And I was like, huh, this was kind of okay, I guess. I just, it's terrible, but like, I'm like, most of this is terrible. Why do we watch it? And I was like, oh, this is okay. So the first match was Sheamus versus Randy Orton in a singles match. Sheamus defeated the Viper. Wow.
That's surprising, actually.
Yeah, that is actually surprising.
I'm surprised by that. Because that's when he was good guy Sheamus. He wasn't doing the mohawk. He just had dumb orange hair.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So this is pre my hard on for Sheamus.
Yeah. All of ours. Yeah. Really.
This is when his song was like something about being a lobster.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
You don't remember that? It was like, oh, the lobster guy or something.
No. I don't think it went, I'm a lobster guy, but yeah, it had that element to it. Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure Bobby's looking it up right now in the booth. But right now, I feel like if you think about Randy Orton match, you're like, here it is. No, that's not it. That's his first one. You got to find the lobster one. But I think anytime I see Randy Orton now, Randy Orton is the new John Cena in that, like, oh, LOL, John Cena wins. It's, oh, LOL, Randy Orton wins for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you there? Oh, I hate Randy Orton.
And, like, his whole shtick, too, was that he was the youngest person to ever win a championship. And now it's like, you're old, bro. Your gimmick is old.
Go back to your sea witch wife.
Yes, go to your sea witch and go back to the sea.
Like, we call her Sea Witch because she legitimately looks like when Ursula turns into the lady and tricks Ariel. Like, she really looks like her. It's strange. Also, they're not great people, so we don't feel bad about saying it. Yeah. Randy, all lives matter, Orin. Yeah. Thank you so much. But this is pre his weird, like, sperm stuff. The, like, sperm snake. The little sperm snake.
Lobster head.
Yeah, lobster head.
Lobster head, you'll wind up dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Too many lies. Too many lies.
Oh. I think that's enough of that. And also right now, Sheamus is reported to have this injury that we're like, oh, he's retiring after WrestleMania. And yet he's been wrestling every week. And it's like, are you okay? Are we going to watch you die? What is happening?
I feel like if he was like, oh, Daniel Bryan gets to wrestle, I'm literally going to die in this ring then. Like, his brain can do this. My spine will be fine. Everything will be great. Like, neither of these things should be happening.
Also, if you have the thirst for Sheamus, he has a YouTube channel where he works out a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good. And sometimes he works out with Drew. It's the best. I love it. I'm literally tearing up.
Who needs Pornhub?
Who needs Pornhub when you have Sheamus working out with Drew McIntyre? It's weird that I teared up talking about
that. The beauty was so overwhelming. You just couldn't help yourself.
That is me in a nutshell. The next match was The New Day, Big E and Kofi Kingston with Xavier Woods on the outside against the Primetime Players.
LOL, remember them?
Yeah.
Who were the champions at this time.
Yes, they were.
Los Matadores.
LOL, remember them.
With El Torito and the Lucha Dragons.
LOL, also remember them.
This is a fatal four-way tag match for the WWE Championship.
This is a match that happened.
So this match contains at least two people who have been released, because Darren Young was released, and I don't think El Torito is still there.
Yeah, he was released a couple years ago.
And then Los Matadores are the Colognes now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right? Are they still a thing?
Yes. Yeah, they were the Shooting Stars, and then...
No, not... It wasn't the Shooting Stars.
Shining Stars.
Were the Shooting Stars. They tried to sell people timeshares. That was a legitimate wrestling gimmick.
Yeah.
Selling timeshares to places in Puerto Rico right? that don't have roofs. So, wrestling. It is 2000. Well, this is 2015, so I guess passable? Not passable.
What a beautiful time.
Never passable. So the New Day obviously wins, because why would any of these other teams win?
This was when they were heels. Like, this was the first time that they won the tag belts. This was like a big fucking deal that they won the
belts. So was this the time when I was like, you're all wrong. The New Day is amazing.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Hashtag Stella was right. About Sheamus, too. Stella was right about the thirst. It's just weird because Darren Young is gone. Titus O'Neil is now worldwide.
That's unstable.
The Colognes are, Los Matadores are around? Main event, maybe? I don't know. One of them had surgery.
Yeah, one of them tore their ACL, I think. Or was that the Singh brothers?
No, that was the Singh brothers.
But no, but I think one of the Colognes had a knee surgery. I don't know. Surgeries. And then the Lucha Dragons. Sin Cara's still there doing something. And then Kalisto is now a 205 Live staple and has been crushing it. Like that Buddy Murphy to Kalisto match was one of the best matches this year, I think. I think it's really underrated. Really, I love 205 Live. If you don't watch that, you suck.
Really should be. It's fucking amazing.
Dolph Ziggler with Lana versus Rusev with Summer Rae. Remember when they were throwing like cold fish at each other and then there was like a dog... And Lana was wearing, like, jean jackets.
She was wearing, like, a short Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. And Summer Rae called Rusev Ruru.
I miss Summer Rae so much.
Summer Rae is amazing. But she seems happy. So.
Yeah, she does.
Good for Summer Rae. Also, somebody who's been released. Okay, so I'm in this weird spot where I really want Rusev and Lana to win co-money in the banks.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of history with Lana.
To put it mildly.
But how fun would it be to have a Rusev Day Money in the Bank stable? That seems amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I would hate it if she won it on her own. And I think I would hate it if he won it on their own. But if they do it together.
If he won it on his own, I'd be okay with that, actually.
Mex America. That was also a thing that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, no.
Just thinking of terrible things that were around in this time.
It's like when you have a flashback and you're like, oh no, I've buried this thought for so long and now it's here.
Sorry. Just thinking of unfortunate wrestling gimmicks from this era. God. Sorry, Bruce.
Oh my god. I completely forgot about that. Jesus Christ. I feel like the only way that can work though is that Rusev has to have the men's Money in the Bank match first. Like, if Lana wins, it's gonna suck the air out of everything.
I mean, Lana's not gonna win.
But I agree with you that it could work. But it would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's a hot second where it seemed like Lana was going to break up Rusev Day, and now it seems like they're an actual stable. Thankfully, because we need more men and women stables.
Yeah, I agree. I was listening to you guys talk about it on the podcast while I was gone. Who's like, this shit better not be going on by the time I get back. And then the first episode I watched was them like getting together as a group, and I was like, yes, they finally did something right.
Rusev Day. Anyways, Dolph Ziggler's trash, Summer Rae has been released, Lana, drama, and Rusev now has a holiday. That is every day.
That's, I have his calendar. That's so weird.
We gotta just, what day is it? Oh, Rusev Day.
It's just bad.
Of course.
Neville and Stephen Amell from the CW's Arrow versus King Barrett and Stardust.
None of these people work for this company.
This is one of the few matches I absolutely remember this completely.
This was shockingly fun.
It was really good, and it involved Neville and Wade Barrett, and Wade Barrett was super hot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just remember being, like, really into it. And I remember thinking, oh, that guy from Arrow can jump over the top rope at least.
It's funny, too, to see him on Arrow and be like, you're in really great shape on this
television
show.
Yeah, he does that fish ladder. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I know, see him next to wrestlers be like, why do you look like a dad? Like, it's so weird. I'm like, oh.
Particularly if you're next to Neville, who is, like, just cut hobbit.
You're, like... granite, basically.
It's also very funny that it's Neville and Stephen Amell, because now Stephen Amell and Cody are, like, BFFs, and he's going to be at All In.
Right,
and
well,
he's, like, doing a bunch of stuff.
This feud kind of started, because it started with Stardust and Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they became friends, and Cody Rhodes has been on the CW's Arrow.
Yeah.
He did a pretty good job. I think he's been on it twice. I thought he did a good job. And now Stephen Amell and him are, like, good friends. They had, like, a wine together. Yeah. And Stephen Amell's going to be All In. Like, this is, like... None of these people work for this company, but there's this beautiful, like, love story that was born out of this weird-ass match that was shockingly okay.
Yeah, I remember enjoying that.
Ryback defeated...
The Ryback.
Well, it just says Ryback here.
It's wrong.
Pull out your D-Bry reference. It's always the Ryback.
The Ryback. The Secret's own the Ryback. Defeated Big Show and The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Poor The Miz, Jesus.
Literally no memory that this even existed.
No.
I saw this and I have no idea.
I feel like it's safe if we just move on.
Yeah. I can't believe The Miz was in a match with The Big Show. Do all these people's names start with The?
Yeah, it's The Ryback, The Big Show, and The Miz.
I feel like this is definitely the match where I went to pee.
Yeah.
It just looks like the pre-Dizzy Break match to me.
The next match was Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns defeating the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper. So a lot has happened there. Dean Ambrose is injured, so we haven't seen him for a little while, which is sad.
He won't be back until at least this
September.
Summer,
yeah. Aww.
I miss Dean.
When he comes back,
I know.
When he comes back, how do you want him to come back? You want him to come back babyface? You want him to come back in a stable? You want him to come back heel?
I want them to reunite the Shield, and I want him to beat them both with chairs.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
They'll never do it with Roman, so Dean is the perfect. He should be a heel. Like that, the chaos trash raccoon should definitely be a heel. There's no reason for him to be a babyface. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
And now Bray Wyatt is part of Woken Warriors.
Whatever.
With the worst tag team finisher. I'm sorry, that looks like trash. You can't do a Sister Abigail and, like, what, the Twist of Fate at the same time or whatever. Like, it sucks. Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. I do like Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt together, but, like, come on. You guys have been wrestling for a long time. Like, you should be better at finishers. If Dolph Ziggler can have a fun finisher right now, then I think you guys can.
Yeah, that's true. It's a pretty low bar. Yeah.
And poor Luke Harper.
Oh, I love him.
It's
so
weird
much.
To say poor because he's a champion right now.
But who gives a fuck? Like, yeah. Who cares about the Bludgeon Brothers? They suck.
He's just such a lovely, beautiful man.
He's great, and he's such a good wrestler, and he does the creepy gimmick so well, but it's also like, Bludgeon Brothers? Did either of you watch SmackDown this week?
No, I did.
There was a video package like promoting like the Bludgeon Brothers, and it was just them with like a bunch of action figures of like their other, like of the other tag teams, and then they like hammered them. It was not great.
Remember for like... 3 weeks when Eric Rohn was a genius.
And he was stalking Renee.
Yeah.
And I will never forget it.
An idiot savant who was also a stalker.
Yeah.
And had a penchant for weird sheet masks.
Yeah.
So. I think that's why I don't like him. I'll never be able to forget that.
I just feel bad that like Bray Wyatt can move on to do other stuff, but Luke Harper seems like tied to this dead weight that is Eric Rohn.
Yeah.
I agree.
Just release both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go see Luke Harper. Literally anywhere.
Anywhere else. Or release Eric Rowan and let Luke Harper live. Let Luke Harper live!
I miss Chikara, Luke Harper. That was the best. When he was Brody Lee and he just would kill small people and it was wonderful.
Small
people
just
beat everybody up and it was so great.
It's really funny when you watch like old Chikara and you see all these wrestlers with like very different gimmicks and you're like, wait a minute, is that? Oh. That's like the most fun part about watching old Chikara, I think. Seth Rollins, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, versus John Cena, the U.S. Champion. Whoever wins, winner takes all. Seth Rollins won.
This I remember.
Double champ.
Clearly.
This was
the debut of like CrossFit White Jesus, Seth Rollins, in the all white and gold gear, coming out looking like the Christ.
He matched with the New Day too.
Yeah.
They were all wearing the
white
gear.
Everybody in white ended up being like champions.
And that was the night where the New Day were like, Seth Rollins. Yeah. They made their weird like suit. Internet faction that wasn't actually a real faction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious because now they're all good guys and they're like friends again.
Yeah.
Which I think is fun that like wrestling has changed enough in 3 years that like these super heels who were the biggest four heels in the company are now like the biggest baby faces that they have. Like, a lot can change in 3 years, even when it feels like everything's the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really. Like, there are a lot of things that are really different.
It would actually be interesting if you think about it. Like, Seth Rollins right now is the Intercontinental Champion, and he has been, like, calling out Brock Lesnar more. It'd be weird to do almost this again, but with, like, Brock and the Universal title and Brock or and Seth and the Intercontinental title. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like Seth Rollins is going to beat Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar. But it would still be, like, an interesting angle.
I will watch Seth knee him so hard in the face it sends his ear to his nose.
Me too.
Wait, is this the match that happened in?
No, that happened on a Monday Night Raw, and that was what led to this match being made.
I remember
Seth Rollins broke John Cena's nose.
Yeah.
It was fucked up.
I remember Seth was like the bad guy in this, but all I remember is everyone losing their shit because they were so excited he won. And because John Stewart was randomly a part of this match because he came out to save John Cena and he went to hit Seth Rollins with a chair and he hit John Cena instead. And then Seth Rollins was just following John Stewart around for like 3 weeks and showed up on the Daily Show.
Didn't John Stewart?
Like a bunch of shit. It was awesome.
Didn't John Stewart also kick Seth Rollins in the dick at one point?
Yes, he did. John Stewart, like 2 weeks before this, like called Seth Rollins out on his show and was doing like a to-camera monologue. And then all of a sudden Seth Rollins walked in behind him and everyone started cheering. John Stewart's like, he is behind me. And then just Seth Rollins cut like the worst promo ever, telling him to come to like wherever this was.
Oh, because it was amazing. In Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's like one of the few things I remember completely because I loved everything about it.
John Stewart gave an interview later where he was like, they should have just committed and had him be like, I'm a bad guy. That's my thing. Because he retired so shortly after that, it like totally would have been fine. It wouldn't have mattered fucking at all. Yeah. But in the end, he was like, I just didn't want John Cena to win for the 16th time because then he would tie Ric Flair. I just wouldn't deal because I'm an old white man. it was such bizarre rationing. Like, it just made me so angry. Like, this was fun and cool. And then you have this ridiculous reason for him being in this match. It made no sense.
It's all Ric Flair's fault.
Right? Like, fuck you, Ric Flair.
But also, I hope you don't die because you're sick right now. So, like, I mean, yeah, sorry. Bad timing.
Eventually? I don't know. He is really old.
We're not predicting Ric Flair's death on this podcast.
Listen, that man barely has a liver, all right? It's not like we'd be dropping, like, shocking predictions
here. I also just love when, because this had two celebrity stuff on it, but I love people like Jon Stewart who you're like, oh, you're a wrestling fan too? Like, it's fun when people like wrestling fans come out of the woodwork. Like that one time Cory Booker in like the fucking House or Senate was like making a joke about Triple H to Linda McMahon and it was like, oh, politics, what? But also it was like, cool, Cory Booker, but also don't confirm her. He didn't vote for her, but, you know, she still is in the cabinet. The next match was a three-team elimination match. Team sorority submission sorority. Quick Google on that. We'll bring up porn. So they changed their name to PCB. So it was Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige versus Team Bad, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina.
I miss Team Bad.
One of the worst decisions in my life was not buying a Team Bad shirt.
Of regrets in my life, and I legitimately regret not buying a
Team Bad shirt. I regret it. I have so much merch, and some of it I'm like, what? Why do you own this? Why do you own this shirt? But that one, I'm sad every day. Versus,
and you can't find it on eBay. You can't. No one sells it. It's bullshit.
Because people are like, collector's edition. And Team Bella, Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, and Nikki Bella. This was in the time when we really hated the Bellas.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious now.
Champ?
Yes. Champ. Nikki was champ here because this was all like, this was in the lead up to her beating AJ Lee's
record.
Yeah.
You mean like Brock Lesnar's doing with Punk right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That literal thing that they're doing again.
Wrestling.
Titled the whole time. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, this also started to set up the feud between Nikki and Charlotte, right, too, yeah, all of this stuff. I don't remember if this match was any good, but it also seems fun. I like everybody in it, but also is trash that the one women's match had all of the women in it.
How long is this match?
15 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, damn!
It is actually the second longest match on the entire pay-per-view.
What?
The main event is 17 minutes and 50 seconds, and then the three-team elimination women's match was 15:20. So that is actually nice.
I'm legitimately shocked by that.
Yeah. This was like the start. start of the women's evolution that we also sometimes call the revolution because we're not really good at branding. Because, like, a couple weeks before this is when they brought up Becky and Sasha and Charlotte and made these factions, which, like, it was so exciting when they brought them up. And then we were like, really? We're going to do factions? But, oh, whatever. They got a lot of screen time, and it did set up for a lot of stuff. But it's, like, this weird in-between thing. So it's, like, excited for all of these people to come up, but they only got this one match. But it was a long match, but all of the segments were, like, team segments. You didn't have any solo stuff. But we did get the Bellabration, which was great. I can watch that gif of Nikki Bella, like, squirting champagne on everyone in anger over and over again. Poor Brie, she tried her hardest. Also, Alicia was there. How do you guys feel about, like, this era of women's wrestling in WWE? Yeah.
It's just awkward.
Yeah, I feel like it's exactly like it is now. It's funny to hear you describe that. It's like, that's literally what they did with Riot Squad,
Absolution.
They're like, here are these five people from NXT. Oh, they're both in... almost like baby. They're all going to be in these pairs together. Like, what
but they But they did bring up Ember in a cool way. They've been doing stuff with her. And they did bring up the Iconics.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank God.
It's also weird to think about this match because the night before this was NXT TakeOver Brooklyn with Sasha and Bayley. This is when Bayley won, and then Sasha fought the next night. Yeah. So, like, you have, like, the pinnacle, the like, one of the, like, touchstones of women's wrestling in WWE. One of the best matches, and, like, it really started a lot of stuff. And then you have this, like, thrown together kind of match, which I don't remember if it was any good. So.
Yeah. The nice thing is it's been 3 years, and looking at that, they're all still signed.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I'm kind of thinking
how much of... The Bellas are retired.
But yeah, but they were in the Rumble. You know, like, they're sort of
And they're still around.
And they're actively involved in the biggest work of all WWE history.
I don't think it's a work.
I think that they're all insane. I hope they don't get back together.
Listen, Total Bellas is on, starts tonight. I have not been more excited than anything ever.
Excited! Total Bellas!
I've been watching everything this week. Every time Nikki Bella shows up on TV when I'm at home, my mother goes, "Your girlfriend's on TV!" And I'm like, "Which one?" And then I run downstairs and I'm like, "Oh, Nikki Bella is just making drinks on the Chew. This is weird. Wrestling is weird. I don't understand what's happening anymore."
And they're making drinks and they're like trying to not bring up John Cena. And then they're like, "So John Cena, huh?"
Yeah. She's just like using like a pestle and mortar, just destroying some mint leaves.
I'm just focusing on my company.
And Bree's like, "Want to talk about my baby?" The next match was Kevin Owens against Cesaro.
I'm sad I don't remember.
That seems fun. Kevin Owens won. This is in the era when Kevin Owens like showed up and was just like kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still kicking ass, just not like winning.
I love him so much. He's the best. And him and Sammy.
It's weird. I've been thinking about it. So the last couple Raws, Sammy and Kevin have been the like through line of the whole show. Mm-hmm. Like they've been in multiple segments. They've been like the story of like the show almost. And that's amazing to think about.
Have you seen that? This is such a weird phrase. Have you seen that gif that was all over Twitter that was like before? It was some match and Roman was coming out and it's Sammy and Kevin like discussing Roman's entrance and they're like, "It's fire and ice. It makes no sense. This doesn't work." And then Sammy goes, "Kevin, I think it's explaining the dichotomy of his character. He's a good guy, but he's also a bad guy." And they're having this whole conversation.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's so great. I will send it to you. But like they're having like a legitimately intellectual discussion. Like, "I don't understand why he's doing this. I think it explains a lot about his character and how he perceives himself." And then finally Sammy just yells like, "You're terrible," or something at him. And it's, "I'm not impressed." That's what he yells at him. He's just like, "I'm not impressed." And it's like, give me like incredulous Sami Zayn with his little old man glasses.
Old man glasses and his
every week. Give me it every week and I will watch.
Bobby Lashley, that's my hat. I want first.
So good.
And the final match was The Undertaker against Brock Lesnar in a singles match that lasted almost 18 minutes. That sounds like hell.
Yeah. It's literally. Sounds like that should be my bathroom.
It's the one where from the like famous gif of like the Undertaker sitting up and then Brock Lesnar sitting up and then like laughing at each other with their tongues out.
Yeah.
They're like, that's like an overused gif that was born in 2015. The Undertaker defeated Brock Lesnar because nothing matters in wrestling.
Yeah. This is the low blow match. This is the one where the Undertaker low blows Brock Lesnar and everyone's like, you've ruined the Undertaker character. And it's like, he's an undead person. Like, we've ruined his character by making him like,
we hit someone in the balls. We ruined his character when we had him lose to Brock Lesnar and then didn't follow up with anything. Yeah. Like, that's when his character was ruined, if we're going to call it ruined. But like,
this was, it's like, fine. The beginning of, like, a four, like, a bunch of weeks where they just, like, basically did the Shinsuke and AJ thing currently, where they just destroyed full each circle. Other's dicks. And, like, not in, like, a fun Pornhub way, in, like, a this is boring way.
Yeah.
Dick punch!
I don't want to see either of these old men's dicks, like, no. at all, so that's maybe, I don't want it in my imagination. I just want it off yes. the screen.
If you had to sleep with one.
No.
You have to. Or the whole world, you have to, or Flash Morgan Webster gets murdered.
Oh, no.
Do you sleep with The Undertaker or Brock Lesnar?
Sorry, Flash.
You let Flash Morgan Webster get murdered?
I mean, I have a long life ahead of me. I don't know if I could live with myself if I did that.
Do I have to look him in the eye?
Yes.
Sorry, Flash.
I don't know. I'd fuck The Undertaker.
If I had to choose, I'd go Undertaker.
I think I would too. But yeah. Just because I don't think Brock Lesnar like would treat me like a human, which is like gross, but also true.
I think in my future life, it'd be cooler to have a story to be like, I fucked The Undertaker.
Right.
Yeah, true.
Like, you know, then compared to
little baby cuck Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was SummerSlam 2015. Yay! So much has changed, and yet nothing has.
You forgot about your favorite part of the pay-per-view.
What?
The song.
Oh, my God!
That is the best part about this pay-per-view.
So WWE always chooses, like, pop songs or, like, rock and roll songs, like, real songs to go along with their big pay-per-views. And this one was the most earwormy song of all pay-per-views ever, and it's been stuck in my head since 2015, and now it will be stuck in your head. Cute music! Yeah, we had it cute. I don't know.
No, we're just making.
Wait for it.
Die for each other. We're cool for the summer.
It was only chosen because it said the word summer for SummerSlam. Take me. Makes no sense to have this song. Demi Lovato, everybody loves wrestling.
Women's WrestleMania match was Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha. Charlotte's promo package.
Oh, it's confident, right?
It's confident, yeah. Because Demi Lovato loves wrestling. Was like, yeah, bitch, use my song. Give me money forever.
I like the idea of going up to Vince McMahon and be like, yeah, bitch, use my song. Give me money forever. I'm Demi Lovato. All right. Thank you for the reminder. How dare I forget Cool for the Summer. Okay, so for the last bit of the show, we want to play a game with two audience members. So I need Courtney to take a tally. Oh, I have so many things open. Get rid of that. Team Stella and Team Aaron. It's time to play a game.
Time to play the game.
Can I take these off? These microphones? So we need two volunteers. Then I fell off the stage. Oh my god. I've fallen off of so many stages lately. That's true, too. At least my clothes are on for this one.
We can change that.
We can change that real quick. Can we have two volunteers? Matt and Dave. That's how volunteering works. Unless you guys really wanted to play. Okay. Who's Team Stella? Choose your teams! Oh, you got screwed, Matt. Now you're Team Aaron.
You're totally screwed. I'm terrible at this.
Okay, this is how this game works.
Okay.
It's going to go me first, then you, and then Aaron, and then we'll go back and forth. Bobby's going to play a theme song, and you have to name the theme song. If you get it right, you or Matt get it right, we get 2 points for our team. If you can't think of it and I have to answer, or Aaron has to answer, we get 1 point. If neither of us get it, we get 0 points.
Oh.
This is from the game show, Gay for Play by RuPaul. It has nothing to do with wrestling. I just like the format of the game.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right. So Team Stella first.
All right.
Small joke.
2 points.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins.
Burn it down!
Everyone's got a rant.
Yeah, we had to wait for the burn it down. All right, Team Stella.
Don't worry.
Oh, well, Undisputed Era, Adam Cole, either one.
Baby! Husband, not husband, boyfriend to Dr. Britt Baker.
Close enough, whatever.
Dr. Britt Baker's boyfriend.
That's his claim to fame.
Yes.
She's like, oh, I'm going to kill him. I don't know.
Is it Office of Pain? No. I don't know.
Roderick Strong? Oh.
Is it Bobby Fish? Damn it!
Okay, you guys lose. What is that? Oh, it's Shayna Baszler!
Rude. Okay, about that.
So we have 4 points, and you have 2 points.
Uh-oh.
Team Stella!
Office of Pain. Way better.
Cool for the summer.
It'll be stuck in all of your heads now.
That doesn't count. That's too easy. Dick, that's like boom. Cheating.
Johnny Gargano.
6 points!
Jesus.
That's also like his favorite wrestlers, or one of your favorite wrestlers. So that's kind of cheating.
My business to talk through theme songs is now biting me in the ass.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I don't give a fuck about theme songs. Who is this? It's our Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on.
Don't give them Shinsuke.
Fuck you.
But maybe give them like an easy one because they're real bad at it.
Duh. Hello.
Rude! My favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I gave it away.
Yeah, I kind of gave that one away.
I don't hear anything about
Boston. Yes, excuse me while I'll be in the back.
Hey, what? And her opponent,
this is Mandy Rose.
From your
That was close because it almost said her name. No.
Damn, I didn't know that one.
They played that song twice.
That was dope. That was good.
That's a good call.
It's kind of similar to Lana's garbage song.
Oh, I would have gotten that one.
So bad.
It reminds me of Emelina's song, to be honest.
I think that's the point.
Yeah. I think it's kind of the same thing, yeah. Also
garbage. This is my alarm.
Iconic.
Which iconic?
No, this is the one we both know.
No, but whose theme song was this originally?
Wasn't it Peyton's?
No, it was Billy Kay's.
Oh, Peyton's was the weird, like, Ivy
it's
thing.
It's called Sultry. Peyton's was called Sultry. It's confusing. Okay, let's do two more rounds. It's my alarm. I wake up to that every day because Nick said I couldn't have Brie mode as my alarm anymore. One time, I used Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme. It's not great to wake up to a glass shattering. It was very scary. I was like, oh my God. And Nick was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, it's just my alarm. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Fuck you, Bobby.
Too, because I was like, who could get away with an opera theme song? Like,
come on!
So many points for us. Oh, this one's good.
Apollo Crews?
But his best friend.
Oh, no, really?
This is Hello, Jason.
Final round.
The two worst people on the same team.
Oh, you can box.
Grip of just material for some reason.
It's supposed to be her tail. It's supposed to be a fox tail, I think.
Oh man, she's snatched right? off of some trash fox or something.
Well,
have you seen?
Well,
her
we
wigs?
Could get into Alicia's wig and weave situation, but it's always been not great.
It's not great.
It's a whole different episode.
It's been several episodes.
I do love Alicia, but she makes strange choices.
Hit us. Let's do it. O'Reilly?
Is it Bobby Lashley's new theme? Oh.
Who the fuck is this?
Courtney, do you know?
No.
Sounds like the beginning of an X-Men cartoon.
Is it main roster or NXT?
Oh, wow.
Authors of Pain. Is this Authors of Pain?
No. Okay, no, now this is a team member. We won, handedly, but this is a team member.
Fuck you.
Is it? Oh.
It's not Dolph Ziggler.
Mojo Rawley?
Is it Kurt Hawkins?
Is it Kurt Hawkins?
No.
This is really hard. Is it Eric Rowan?
It's not. Can you say SmackDown or Raw? I got kissed.
No.
Not he.
I have no idea.
What the fuck is this? Wait, no, I want to play this game. I must win.
Who's the
roster? Nobody cares. Is it? Is that Baron Corbin? Is it?
No, it's not
is
Baron Corbin.
Is it Born Snorin?
Who doesn't anyone care about?
Oh my god! Giant screen behind us, and we all looked around behind and just started to be like, oh god, Big Cass.
Terrible.
Oh god.
The literal four only people that have cowered before Big Cass at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Oh my god. Thank you so much for playing this game. We have swag for you, but it's a bunch of Not Your Demographic and Star Wars stuff that you both probably have. But I can give it to you.
I don't have any
Oh, great. Yay. These bags of stuff you already have,
oh,
but they're in there. It's a koozie.
Yay.
And a button.
Yay,
merch.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Yay.
Woo!
Why did I even have you take points? I like kicked her ass. I didn't even actually. Dave kicked her ass. I didn't even answer one. Dave got them all.
Yeah,
Dave
didn't
is great.
Have to do shit.
Oh, I should have known that. Never play trivia against Dave. Dave used to come to the Plan 9 shows when we did trivia and play by himself and win like every time. That guy's a super nerd. That guy's a super nerd. Nerd Comedy Fest. So before we go, does anybody have any burning questions for us? Anything you want to know about us, wrestling or otherwise? Probably just wrestling, though. Our friend John drew the logo. He is super great. He is like, he's a lawyer, but is a casual cartoonist, and he's done a couple doodles for Plan 9. And I was like, hey, could you do one for Not Your Demo? And I was like, we want cats in it. And that's really the only, like, I was like, no, there's supposed to be both my cats because when we record in a room and we close them out, but they sit outside the door and you can hear them in the background of all of our episodes. Even if I try and edit them out, they're just so loud. So it's my cats in little luchador masks. Probably Imogen is the one flying, and then Puck is the one just sitting there like, can I go home? Can you be done so I can sit in your lap now? Imogen is for sure the one flying. She's super nuts. He's really, really great. He does really fun stuff. Any other questions? Matt.
Yes. So, Bailey, your thoughts about where her character is now and how they can course correct if need be?
Well, they've done a horrendous job. They just really messed it up. I think it really jumped the shark with the Alexa Bliss Kento stick match, because she 100% should have won that. The whole buildup, first of all, was terrible. Like, that was one of the worst segments of all of Raw, when Alexa was like, here's your third grade teacher. She hates you. But like, the whole point was that, like, Bayley's not going to be hard enough to, like, beat me. She won't hit me with a Kento stick.
And then she didn't.
Like, she really should have. I don't know. It's hard, because, like, I was really upset that Alexa Bliss qualified for the Money in the Bank, because she doesn't need it. She had the belt for so long. She can sit comfortably in the mid card for a second, and she beat Bayley, who needs some. Even if she didn't win Money in the Bank, her, like, showing up and kicking ass in Money in the Bank and really helping people to remember why she's there and why she is a really good wrestler, like, that's such a missed opportunity. I honestly don't know how they course correct it. It's tough, because it seems like every time they have a chance to, they mess it up. And I think really all they need to do is give her a chance, weirdly. Like, they need to put her in a feud and let her win. She can still be an underdog and a baby face, but, like, it's not a baby face if you always lose.
Put her in a feud with someone who isn't Sasha Banks.
Yes, oh my God.
Which is, I think, very key.
Put her in a feud with somebody that isn't Sasha Banks and let her win.
Yeah.
Like, she should have won all that Alexa Bliss stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I wish they would just turn her heel. Like, they clearly don't know what the fuck to do with her, so why not? Like, Elle Collins made a really good point that sometimes you have to turn people heel in order to give them the confidence to be a good babyface later. And I think that Bayley's biggest problem is that they write absolute garbage for her, and so her promos suck a lot, and I think that that's what really holds her back. And I think if they let her be a heel and let her be just kind of an asshole all the time, it would give her the confidence to then later come back, and when she becomes a lovable underdog again as a good guy, people will care about her on the main roster. They're completely playing on everyone loved her in NXT while trying to forget that NXT happened. That's a big part of it. Like, if they could promote her as...
while trying to build up to the biggest NXT women's feud at the same time.
It just doesn't make any sense that they're trying to redo this thing with Bayley and Sasha with this idea that, like, we should care about them because they had all these awesome matches in NXT, but we don't want to show you NXT, and we want to pretend that you just know it already, and, like, there's such a bigger audience for the main roster. It feels like they just completely misstepped on how to do Bayley immediately from the call-up of the other three women and leaving her down there. I know why they did it, but, like, literally that is the beginning of her problems on the main roster. Like, there was just no way to come back from that.
And when she's been in matches recently, like showcase matches, like the Rumble, like the Elimination Chamber, like, she looked great. And people were like, oh, fuck yeah, Bayley. And then they, like, have thrown it all away in these, like, hallway scenes with her and Sasha. And they're friends again? I don't know.
It makes no goddamn sense. You can tell there are no women in the writing room. That's really what it comes down to, is, like, these men do not understand female friendships and rivalries and relationships. And it's just glaringly obvious.
So fix it by hiring some female writers.
Yeah, I agree. That's really how you fix it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Quick, if you want to support us, you can find us on patreon.com/notyourdemopod. You can find me on Twitter at Stella_Cheeks, and also our official Twitter at NotYourDemoPod.
You can find me at EarnGenC.
You can find Courtney at
Chicago C. Rose.
If you want to know more about British wrestling and Flash Morgan and all of her thirst, go there.
It's a lot of it.
Yeah. We've talked about mine, but Courtney is maybe the thirstiest person I know.
I'm really proud of that. For you to say that to me is an honor.
Also, Courtney relatively recently just got really into the Marvel Universe. And
I watched all the movies in a month.
She's really into the movies, but also she's a librarian, so she's been, like, deep diving into the comic books, and watching her joy of, like, Marvel flourish has been amazing. So,
I read,
like,
all of the Tom King Vision last night and cried for, like, so half good, an hour right? straight. Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, it's so good. It's really good. Yeah. You should read Champions.
Okay.
Anyways.
I don't have that.
all right. Before we go, we got two words for you. Oh, come on, Bobby.
Come on.
Remove!